Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 487, Signal Archive, recorded live on May 28th, 2015. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Biowolf.
And we are here tonight talking about Hunt the Signal, a little side contest that was going on during the Hunt the Truth campaign, which is still going on. We have another 3 weeks or so in that. But this Hunt the Signal was something that was going on as a contest for people to be immortalized in the Halo universe in Halo 5. So exciting stuff. Some pretty in-depth stuff, which we'll get into a little bit here. But we have a special guest with us tonight. Coming or heralding all the way from Halo Archive, we have Media Bias on the show with us tonight. Welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, Duststorm, for having me, Biowolf. We've been trying to do this for a few months now, and we've been really busy, but I'm glad to finally be on.
I know, it's taken a little while to actually get everything coordinated, but it's good to finally get you guys on. You guys have been making quite the scene when it comes to the Halo lore stuff, so everything that you guys have been putting out has gotten a lot of focus, and a lot of great content's been put up there, and we actually mentioned something on our last podcast that you guys recently put up, which was thoughts on who Pharaoh could actually be, and what you guys kind of dug through some of the other Halo fiction that we've gone through and identifying somebody who could possibly fit the bill for who this mysterious entity in Hunt the Truth could be. And you make a persuading argument in there.
Yeah, you know, I actually wrote it, but I can't really take the credit. It was everyone on our forum essentially that went out, and I think it was maybe Logan. If he's listening, shout out to Logan. I think he was the first one that mentioned it, and then people started running with it. You know, and then I basically went through, thought, wow, this really makes a lot of sense. Looked at all the info, and I think it, you know, even if it's not true, I think it was a pretty good theory, you know. And actually Grimm, we kind of threw it at Grimm, and we were like, hey, can you give us a hint if we're hot or cold here? And he was kind of joking around. He's like, you're correct, Pharaoh is probably female. And then he was kind of being sarcastic. He's like, nothing gets past the Halo Archive crew. Nothing.
Right.
I think it'll be, I don't know. I didn't know how to take that. I know he was being sarcastic, but I think it's possible. And yeah, we really laid it out really well. So I'm just glad that people are starting to see it. We've been trying to do this for a long time.
Well, you guys have made a lot of good progress, and it's been something that we've wanted to get you guys on here. I think, when did we start talking about this? Back in February or something like that? Some
months ago. And at that time, we were actually, for those that aren't aware, we were using a free pro boards website. It wasn't really that nice of a site. And so at that time we were busy building the new one, building the forum, just super stressed, but no, we've definitely wanted to be on. So it's just, I'm just glad that the community is finally, you know, getting noticed for lore, you know, because I think 343 is putting more effort into that than they ever have, or, you know, either developer ever has before. So it's kind of nice to have a place to go and be a part of the community.
Right, and the website has come a long way since it was over on those freeboard sites.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A long way.
Yeah, so you actually saw it then.
Yeah, I remember the old ones, and I was hesitant to sign up for the forums because I had used freeboards in the past, and I'm like...
Because it looked like crap.
Yeah, no offense, but...
No problem.
I've had some bad experiences in the past with them.
Yeah, no, it was definitely, you know, for where we were, it's actually funny. Joe, who couldn't make it tonight, we tried getting him on, but his mic was having issues. He started it, and it was this free Zeta Boards website initially with, like, you know, 20, 25 people from Waypoint. And then it kind of evolved into, hey, we need, you know, a better forum. So we went to Pro Boards, which was still bad, but better than what they were using. We finally made the plunge to IP board, and actually, since we moved over less than 3 months ago, we've gained like almost like 75% of our total members already. So we've been growing really quickly. And yeah. I think a lot of that is probably just people like the look of the forum. It looks better.
It looks a lot better. The articles that you guys have been putting out have been very well put together, very nicely done. And this kind of actually harkens back a little bit to Ascendant Justice in a way, because they were a big lore yep. community back in the day, and then they got absorbed by Bungie and now 343 doing Halo canon stuff. So it's yeah. almost like you came and filled this void, backfilled it with the archive, and a lot of stuff is really coming out of here, and you guys have done such a great job with the site. But since people may not know who you are, why don't you give us a little bit of background of how the archive got started and what the purpose of the archive is?
So, and I should say right off the bat that I came in early last year, January of 2014, and the archive had been around for probably about a year to 2 years, even before that, when it was literally just a small group of friends from Waypoint that wanted a place to go and talk freely, talk about leaks, talk about whatever they wanted. So they made Zeta Boards was actually, I think, the second community they had going, but that was like the first time that they had actually had their own website. And Mendicant Bias, Joe from he's one of the admins here on our forum. He invited me. I got into a debate with him on Waypoint about precursors or something, you know, back in the Forerunner saga. And he was like, "Hey man, you know, you seem like you really like the lore. We've got this thing called Halo Archive. It's just a small group of people that want to talk about it. You should come check it out." So I saw it and I thought, hey, this is really cool. I think having a place to go in depth and, you know, it had a lot of potential. So I came in and basically helped them just kind of push it to where it is now. You know, I guess I would say that there's no way that we would ever be able to get to the point we are without pretty much everyone that's been with us since Zeta Boards, which is a lot of people from our forum. There's been plenty of disagreements and, you know, stress along the way. But overall, I mean, we had this dedicated, you know, small group of people that really helped push it along and gave us the support to do so. And like I said earlier, you know, we went from Zeta Boards to Pro Boards. And then we kind of decided, hey, what if we have a website? Because we wanted to have, you know, maybe some news, draw some people in. So we built Squarespace. I spent basically a week trying to learn basic CSS. And even though Squarespace is super easy and simple, it took me a while to do it. And one thing led to another. And we thought, well, you know what? Pro Boards, this is starting to look, for how big we're getting, this is starting to look pretty crappy. And it just didn't look nice. And so we, you know, by that time we had a few hundred members. We were just like, hey, you know, let's just throw in some money and just, you know, go big or go home, basically. And we built the WordPress site, bought our fully hosted domain, built the forum. And after all this work and, believe me, like sacrificed weekends, we finally came out on the other side pretty clean and kept a lot of our good members. And now, like I said, man, like we moved over in early March, and I think we were at like 460 members that we had brought over from the past site. And less than 3 months later, now we're at 752. And it's just like, it's been attracting, you know, writers, people that are really good writers. One person specifically, Abby Dildev on our forum, she came over and she wrote a piece on Halo the Flood that actually got the author, William Dietz's, attention. He commented on it, tweeted it out. So it's really cool to see not only our site and our community get big, but people that are involved get some notoriety for, you know, their work as well and their love. I guess that's pretty much it in a nutshell. Like, we're just trying to push lore. You know, I think it's a perfect opportunity with, like you said, Ascendant Justice being gone and 343 putting way more effort into it than ever before.
The lore has exploded, just evidenced by the Hunt the Truth stuff that's been going on. It's astronomical how much content that we get through the Halo lore. And that's one of the things, personally for me, that's exciting about Halo, is just the fact of how big the universe is, how complex everything is, how everything ties together, and its vastness is outstanding. It's hard to keep track of everything, too.
Oh, definitely. And I've never been, I've always liked sci-fi, but I'm really not into too many other sci-fi universes. You know, there's a few really good movies. And obviously everyone loves Star Wars, but I've never gotten so entrenched into a sci-fi genre. And I think, or not genre, universe, but I think it's because not only can I, you know, do something I love, play video games, but now they've got, you know, all the ARGs going on. They've got books, they've got comics, and now they're doing live action stuff. So it's just like, it's almost like a whole world. It's not just one medium of the universe that you're having to deal with. You have all these other cool ways to access it that makes it so special to me.
And that's one of the really cool things about it. One of the interesting stats that I've heard too, and this is more from the past than it is now per se, but how many copies of Halo is sold versus how many people play online or have even logged in for something like Halo 3. It's actually pretty astounding. I don't remember what the numbers were exactly, but it was something along the lines of a million of the copies of Halo 3 that got sold or something like that never signed into Xbox Live. So that just shows you how much of an impact that the campaign has. And I think at some point there were like, maybe like 11 million unique Halo 3 players on Xbox Live at one time. So just take a million of that. It's still a very involved franchise in terms of a story. And for a lot of people, I think that's what Halo really started out as. Granted, the competitive community is very vocal and very prominent for Halo, but I think one of the things that really sticks out for Halo is the story that was created by Bungie.
Completely agree. I mean, I think multiplayer games, aside from Call of Duty, which has probably been one of the longer lasting console FPS, I guess you could say, multiplayer ones pushed to the forefront of gaming in general. Aside from that, I would say that pretty much every multiplayer or style of multiplayer, it's gonna have its peak and it's gonna have, you know, it's where it kind of caves in. People are just going to get bored with what, people have been playing. Some people, it might be kind of controversial, but I think that's inevitable with a lot of games. But I think that's why Halo is so special because, I mean, even though I love the multiplayer, you know, I've always loved the multiplayer, whether it was Halo 1, 2, or 3, or 4 was okay. But anyway, it's more so the story to me. Like, I could never drop my Xbox. And it's great marketing by them because I will always have an Xbox just to find out the story of Master Chief and the future of Halo. And that's really the core of it for me.
Yep, I can attest to that as well. So now that we know a little bit more about the archive, why don't you give us a little information about you, how you got involved with the Halo universe?
Definitely. So I'm 24 right now. So 9 years ago, about 10 years ago, I was like eighth grade, freshman year, Halo 2 was coming out. And prior to that, I remember playing Sidewinder. Was it Sidewinder? I don't know. I remember playing a map in Halo Combat Evolved at my buddy's house. And I didn't really, it was cool, but at the time, I was kind of too young to really grasp it. And then when Halo 2 came out, like I said, I was going into high school and my friend had an Xbox and Halo 2, and he had this small old school TV and like a wraparound couch directly in front of it. And all four of us, me and three friends, we would all be there every day after school playing Halo 2 online. And I got pretty good, you know, like I would always play as a guest. And then I thought, hey, I really want my own rank. So I ended up buying an Xbox Live account without even having an Xbox. And it wasn't until Halo 3 that I actually got a 360 when Halo 3 came out. And ever since then, you know, Halo 3 was, I think, when I got more into the lore. I think the arc, that whole experience really kind of wowed me. And then all these weird text terminals at the time, I was like, well, you know, what is this? And I kind of started getting into it. And I would say really Halo 2 was the thing that pulled me to where it is now. And that's why I was, not to get off track, but I mean, I was super depressed when Halo Master Chief Collection came out and I couldn't really play the game because Halo 2 was just by far the best game of all time, in my opinion. And it's probably just because it started me on this like 10-year path of, you know, kind of changing my life a little bit, especially now, you know, kind of running, helping to run a community for the universe. So that's definitely where it came in. I think, like I said, the lore was Halo 3. That's what brought me in. And then ever since then, I kind of studied the past games and everything and got way more into it than ever before.
That's awesome. Is there any particular game that, I mean, you mentioned that Halo 2 is one of your favorites, but is there any particular game campaign-wise that really speaks to you the most?
I would say, honestly, I mean, yeah, like I said, I would probably say Halo 2, and at the time, I didn't really appreciate it, because I just went and, you know, was shooting people on Xbox Live, and I didn't really play the campaign. But like I said, after I got a 360 and Halo 3, I played through the campaign and thought, you know, this is cool. And for all the inconsistencies now that I know of in Halo 3, it's still a great campaign in my opinion. But Halo 2, I played through Halo 2 and I just thought, man, this is so cool. I can't think of another shooter that has ever been this in-depth. And you get to see a bunch of different sides of the story. You get to literally play as the enemy for a while. So Halo 2, I think campaign-wise, was really good, aside from the ending. But like, it, you know, overall, Halo 2, I liked Halo 4. I liked how we finally dove into the Forerunners and Requiem and all that ancient lore, because that's actually my favorite, is the Forerunner saga. But I thought, as much as I liked it, I thought it could have been done a little better. But overall, it was a great game. I think Halo 2 just takes the cake for me, probably in every way.
Awesome. How does Halo 3 ODST rank up in there?
ODST, I really like, I guess maybe for some reason, maybe because I haven't played it in a while, I don't think I like it as much as everyone else does. I really loved the firefight. I can't remember the map, but that one map where there was the base in the middle, that was like that, when that was introduced, it was just so awesome and so different for Halo.
Lost Platoon?
Was that it? Yes, that sounds familiar. I should look it up right now.
On the archive, no doubt, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was, yeah, that was it. And it, you know, the story was great. I loved it. But it's still, I don't know, maybe, I don't know what it is, but it's just kind of that Master Chief and that whole story is just kind of more important to me, even though I think it was great and, you know, necessary for the franchise to grow, definitely.
I think ODST really laid the groundwork for having something that's not necessarily chief focused
definitely
be realized within important. The universe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially from a playability standpoint, because that made the way for Halo Wars, made the way for Halo Reach, Spartan Strike, Spartan Assault, and with how this may go down in Halo 5, Chief may not be the main character for too much longer.
You know, with Halo 4, I was starting to get slightly worried about some of the characters. Now, it wasn't that I thought that they were terrible characters, but I thought it was just, they just weren't as intriguing to me as Halsey and Cortana and all those old school ones. And maybe it's just because I'm just, you know, I've been playing it for 10 years and I'm kind of nostalgic at this point. But I think initially with Thorne, people were like, oh God, is Thorne going to replace Master Chief? And Palmer, people kind of disliked her. And I was getting slightly worried about the new characters they were bringing in. I was really happy that they were. But now, since even the Hunt the Truth thing with Benjamin Giroux, like all these characters, these Sully and everyone that they're expanding on, obviously Locke, I have a lot of confidence in 343 going forward. I think it could survive without Master Chief, but I mean, at its center, it's always going to be Master Chief. It'd be tough to do, and it would take a long time until I think they can move away from that.
I think it's just a matter of time and getting people used to the idea that the universe is more than Chief. And granted, we have a lot of stuff going for him in terms of what the Librarian has planned for humanity and restoring access to the domain and taking on the mantle and everything that she's planned for Chief to be the way that he is with his combat skin, and for Halsey to be in the position that she's in with the Janus Key, and Cortana to be made the way that she's been made. A lot of that stuff really comes into play, and there's multiple angles that you can take to the Halo universe as it currently stands, with how the Forerunners have influence on humanity, what the Librarian has done and planted seeds in, what Oni is now doing, what we've seen in Hunt the Truth, and now we have Locke going after Chief, what Halsey is doing with the Covenant on that side since she's been kidnapped, and now she has a vendetta against Oni and all that. So there's lots of different dimensions and elements into Halo that could really be explored. And while I think the focus is going to be on Chief, I think the Halo universe is really going to move more towards, at least if we stay Chief-focused.
What's happening, like, faction-wise, more so than just character-wise? You know what I mean? Like, is that kind of what you're saying? Like, with humanity and the Covenant and Forerunners and all these other things that are going into it, it doesn't have to be so centered on Chief. Is that essentially...
I think we would see breakoffs in that direction, to be honest, because we have a whole separate storyline that's going to be based off of this resurgence of human civil war, because that's what's happening. Mm-hmm. That's based on what our last episode of Hunt the Truth.
No, you're right.
It's Ben has rekindled that flame, that hatred, that self-reliance that the other colonists were thriving on before the Covenant came and glassed them out.
Right.
This resurgence of that civil war is coming back. So there's that whole piece. But then we have a separate piece of what the Librarian has to fulfill with Chief, with Cortana, with Halsey, that whole side of the story. So at this point, we could almost see two branches of games coming out. But for the continuity of the franchise,
you're right.
You would almost have to keep that union somehow.
I think you're completely right. And I know that that's what 343 is going to slowly do. Is we can already see it with Halo 5. They're saying, you know, you're going to be able to play as Locke and Chief. Obviously, we were able to play as the Arbiter in Halo 2, but the fact remains, which I don't know, have they ever actually said that he's going to be playable in Halo 5, by the way?
The Arbiter, no, they have not. Okay.
But, I mean, yeah, I think what they're doing is the right thing if that's what it's inevitably going to. And it probably will, considering they want to run the universe for like 20 more years, I think they've said. So I think having Chief be the center for 20 more years would be really tough. It's, I mean, people age.
you can't do it.
Right.
It's impossible. I mean, you have so many things that people would be freaking out. Like, and we came into this discussion before, and there was some really, you know, emotional opinions on it, strong feelings on other opinions, but you have Chief as the person you've been playing as for the last four games. You know, right. You basically, like, they had that illusion that you were the Chief. Like, we didn't really know, apart from like the first game, we just knew who he was, but you can't keep going with the same individual on and on. It'll get tiring. It'll get boring. I mean, I think that's the reason why I kind of clung to Spartan Ops and Halo 4 so much, is because, like, there was a different story. Like, you're playing as a different character. You know, you were seeing different things. Like, you were still in that direct, you know, what was going on in Halo 4, like with Palmer and different things like that. Now, what they're dealing with Halo 5, you have a lot of characters in there. You have Locke, you have Arbiter, you have Chief, you have Blue Team, you know, possibly Buck. Lasky, like, you have just a huge pile of characters. And something that I was honestly really hoping was they kind of redo Spartan Ops. Well, no, I mean, like that, but like you're saying before, you know, they would have to have a couple different games, but the way they could honestly keep it in one game is branch out into different ways of telling a story. You know, and I think Spartan Ops was kind of the pretty unique way of doing it. I mean, granted, it wasn't the greatest. Like, it wasn't the greatest way of doing that.
The gameplay itself, like the missions, I guess, maybe weren't the greatest, but I thought the story was fine. I thought, I liked the idea, and I actually hope that they continue doing it unless they have something better planned. But I mean, I thought obviously the first half of the season, mission wise, was a little, like, there were times where I was just a little bored doing it, but the story itself wasn't bad at all. And I liked that they were at least trying to find a different way to expand it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the reason why I like ODST. ODST is my favorite story in the Halo franchise as of right now. And we, I don't know, Halo 5 may change that real quick, but I think the reason why I kind of liked that one out of the most, or most out of all of them, was it was, you were seeing the other side of the story. You know, you weren't seeing the super soldier. You were seeing the ODSTs that were struggling to go through all these things. You know, you had a team. Like, you had Romeo, you had Buck, you had Dutch, you had all these individuals, and they were kind of going through it. And it was a really unique way of telling a story. You know, you had kind of branched off from the normal that you were seeing with Chief. Definitely. And I think that's the reason why I kind of like, and I'm excited for ODST that it's coming to Xbox One, because I'll play the crap out of it then too. I mean,
I think I'll appreciate it more now too.
Yeah.
Kind of going back to that, you know, and I kind of want that style, because I mean, it obviously wasn't like completely open world, but it was kind of down that road a little bit. And I thought that was really cool. And I think that's kind of, I mean, I have a gut feeling, I could be completely wrong, but I think that's what Halo 5 might, it might have some of those elements, like where they say you can be Chief, you can be Locke, and you're hunting Chief, and whatever Chief is doing, I'm sure he's looking for something. Like, it seems like it's almost setting it up to kind of go your own way a little bit. I know it's still going to be linear, but I wonder how much. Like, I don't know if it'll be Halo 4 style and, you know, the trilogy games where it's just mission after mission after mission.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think the way they did with ODST was pretty unique. Like, you kind of had, this is kind of a weird way of describing it, but you had the ground level where you were rookie, you know, kind of searching for your teammates, you know, you're finding the sniper, you're finding all these little things that kind of led into the other stories to tell that. Like, that was unique. Like, I really enjoyed how they did that. So it really makes me wonder how they're going to tell the story in Halo 5. You know, you have so much going on. You can't keep it the same way. Like, you can't keep on going through the same campaign missions like we've seen in Halo 4 or Halo 3. Like, that's pretty, the way they're telling stories then is pretty much gone. Like, especially when it comes to this. I mean, if you're having, it's the honest truth. Like, there's too much going on with this just to keep it simple. You got to kind of branch out into other things.
I agree. Totally agree.
I think we can move on to the Hunt the Signal stuff. As far as any of us are concerned, we didn't get to quite fully go through everything, so we may be stumbling through this a little bit. Starting off with, I think it was, what, episode 6 of Hunt the Truth? Is that right?
It was May 6th was the day it started, so 9th. Yes, you're right.
Okay.
Yep.
So in episode 6, at the end of episode 6 of Hunt the Truth, we had this weird Morse code sounding signal that was actually an encoded spectrogram, which led to a website called Hunt the Signal on May 26th, as Mario just said. We had a countdown on mobile site, and we had an error on desktop. And while this countdown was going on, people actually found links to a terms of service, which detailed that this Hunt the Signal thing was actually a contest for people to get themselves into Halo 5, basically immortalized as characters in the game, which was very exciting at first.
Yeah. And then once you realized that you couldn't figure it out, or I couldn't figure it out, I was like, well, this is over my head.
Exactly.
It was very complicated.
After that first puzzle, it was just ridiculous on even trying to keep up with it. And I was in the chat room trying to see if anyone had figured it out and trying to figure it out on my own. And people were already like 4 or 5 steps ahead while the rest of the public was behind. So it was just, for the most part, me just wanting to know about it for the progression of how the story went on, rather than actually going for the contest.
No, I was kind of watching it, and I kind of was just trying to see if there were any hints. I knew it was over my head, so I was kind of looking for hints towards like the story. And I know it was kind of revolving, or there was some transmissions that came through from Locke, and he was talking about how he was tasking this AI trying to find vulnerabilities in Mjolnir armor and Spartan 2s and everything. So it was kind of cool to see, you know, you're seeing him basically research his adversary, you know.
One of the things that would be very beneficial to know going up against a rogue Spartan 2 now, or at least rogue in the eyes of Oni. Once the countdown hit 0, we were led to a site that had that introduction text of what you should do in order to get through Hunt the Signal. So you actually had to be playing this on desktop and mobile, and you had to have a team of 4 to play. This was something that you had to go through as a team. And I'm assuming with how the contest was structured, that it's a fire team that your faces are basically going to be a part of, or basically immortalized in the Halo universe. So we have Locke's team, which is a team of four. We have Blue team, which is a team of four. So it just kind of makes sense that whatever team wins this thing is a team of four, another Spartan team that's going to be in the game.
Yeah, and that Oni Section 3, that was their Twitter tag, were the people that won too, right?
Yeah, Oni Sec 3 on Twitter, O-N-I-S-E-C-3. They managed to get the final confirmation that they had won, which was awesome to see that they actually came out, turned around quickly, because I would assume for a contest like this, you really wouldn't know if you won or not until sometime after the contest ended. And they actually got this a week ago, and the contest was supposed to be going through till, was it today or in a couple of days?
I think it was later. I don't know if we passed it, but it was later this month, and they had won. Let's see. I'll go to their Twitter. I think they had won a week ago today.
Right.
A week ago today.
On the 21st is when they tweeted it.
Yeah. So I think they were probably a week ahead or close to it, at least.
At least. I was surprised it was that short. Not that it was that short for other people,
Right. I'd still be like looking at the initial coordinates, being like, what the hell?
Right. I got to the part where you were doing the firewall lock, and then I just couldn't get past it.
You were just like, okay.
That's where I stopped, and I couldn't get these knuckleheads to get on and help me either, so that was a lost cause.
You're like, where's the game shark? I need to just do this quickly.
That's what the chat room is for. That was the IRC was for. So let's kind of walk through this step by step just a little bit. So the first sign, obviously, was at the end of episode 6 of Hunt the Truth, leading to stolengauntlet.com, which linked to a YouTube video about a Ford truck. It was just a Ford truck commercial, and it had the same, had similar glitches to another video that was released on Xbox UK that was called The Best of 2015. And it was a similar trailer that we've seen before, where it was highlighting some of the best games that are anticipated to come out for this year. And then it had glitch parts in it that led to stolengauntlet.com. What, right? The Xbox UK one did that?
I believe so. And then there was like there was that one first task with all those that were, I think it was directly accessible from there, but it had like A, B, C. I can actually post the image in the Twitch here.
Yeah, go for it. But you get through the video in stolengauntlet.com, which leads to that truck commercial, and then you eventually, once the countdown hit zero, you get redirected to this compass, and the numbers that you had to put in were 27, 117, and 248. And once you got to that stuff, you actually got through to where you could register for the contest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
So everything going up to that point was kind of the entry into it. And once you got through, you were greeted with a welcome message, and you were redirected to huntthesignal.com/team, where you could sign up for the contest, create your fire team to go through and do everything for the contest.
Yeah, there were people on our forum as well setting up. We had like a whole thread. People were kind of getting together and trying to jump in on it.
Right. Everything as far as the URLs, though, you can actually go to the Waypoint forums, and there's a thread titled Hunt the Signal Discussion Thread V4, which documents the entire process of going through everything of what they did to get to the very end. So the first transmission you actually get after you go through the compass thing is a little message that you get from Jamison Locke, Spartan Locke. And he says, "My name is Jamison Locke. You are a non-volitional AI created for the purpose of determining vulnerabilities of Mjolnir combat armor per Stolen Gauntlet. A red alert failsafe in the event that any Sierra asset were to operate subversively outside mission parameters and operations protocol. Complete your tasks discreetly. And then there was a continue button at the bottom where you could go on and actually register your team. So that was the first step.
That was all the first step.
Yeah. That was the easy part. Then came the not quite so easy part, but not that bad to begin with. The next step involved just waiting until you got your fire team. So once you got four team members into this team, then you would actually be entered into a chat room where you could all talk about the strategies that you're doing, everything that you found. And there was a URL at the top of the chat window, which led you to Transmission 1, the first part of the puzzle, after you have all your fire team pulled up there. So who, just kind of out of curiosity, who in the chat actually tried to go and follow through with this? And how far did you get? I'd be curious to see how far people got.
Yeah, I know that I didn't get anywhere.
I think I got through Transmission 2 to the point where you got the firewall thing, and that was it. So while people are answering that, the first transmission that you got after you had your team and you followed the link that was on the chat page was, you are located within a secure naval intelligence facility. Locke has tasked you with evaluating potential vulnerabilities of Mjolnir combat armor, exploring the hypothetical scenario of having to neutralize a Spartan II asset. This includes initiating the armor, manipulating the 49 pieces of its circuitry, then ascertaining its weakness by calibrating the Mark IV or Mark VI firmware. Which, looking at the puzzle afterwards, really didn't quite seem like it. It was just more of a storyline to push it along.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of see it. I guess I could see that.
Yeah. Once you got to that part, though, that was when the community effort really took place, and there was this giant puzzle of basically this core component of the Mark VI armor and the circuitry therein. First, you had to go to hunt the signal on the mobile site, go to the URL there, and then hit continue. And then you were presented with a screen of three columns of five kind of button things. And this is actually something that was pretty cool. You had to coordinate with your other teammates, and everyone had to push a different combination of buttons at the same time.
Yeah, that was pretty sick.
Wow.
That was pretty cool. So the interesting part was that when you went to that website on the desktop, it actually gave you the combo that you needed. When you went to it on your mobile, it actually gave you the screen prompt for you to get that code. Yes. The responses that you get after you unlock the coordinates is every team member would get a different URL that was encoded. And this is where the cryptography starts to get into play. This is something that I am not very strong suited in, and this contest was heavily, heavily riddled with cryptography.
Needless to say, I got lost. I didn't know what to
do.
I was so done. I'm like, it wasn't, I don't even know what that was. To be honest, they didn't give me directions on how to do it. I'm like, all right, I know how the compass works. I know how that works. All right, now we got to do the cryptography. What is that? Like, I don't even thought of doing, even heard of that. Like, it was interesting how they did that, though. I will say, like, that your teammates have to hold, or your clan or teammates, whatever, have to hold the buttons at the exact time in the give. Like, they put a lot of thought into this.
Yeah, they did. It was very in-depth of what they did, which is kind of cool. As far as having the fire team work together, I thought that was something that was, it was a good approach to it. Although I can't really say from the part after the firewall stuff, but it didn't really seem like you needed to have too much of a team effort other than trying to figure out all in all what was the next steps. Like, have everyone just trying different things until you could actually get to the next part. So once you got the four URLs, there was a hint somewhere. I can't remember if it was on the mobile site or the desktop site, but you were given the hint, Birth of a Hero, and that was a key for a cipher that you had to use in order to decode the URL. So it was, let me see, what was it? A Gronsfeld cipher. And again, if you want more info on this, just look up the, and we'll link this in the show post whenever we post it on the website. And I just put a link in the chat for those interested. But there's 4 or 5 different cryptography ciphers used in this thing. So this was just one of them. It was basically taking the digits from Chief's birthday, and it was an offset for all the characters in that URL string. So you convert the string, and it generated 4 URLs to 4 different images of circuitry. There were a total of 19 different pieces of circuitry that you actually had to find across the internet. And this was stuff that was spread over Xbox Facebook page posts, Xbox Tumblr, Twitter, YouTube, Hunt the Signal, Hunt the Truth, everywhere. And there were teases that were going on from the Halo Twitter account for those who hadn't found the pieces yet. But this was something that it was a community effort, similar to the Halo 5 box art thing, which was interesting because everyone was pulling together, and we actually managed
to... That was cool. I liked that.
Yeah. One of the last pieces we got was actually a picture of the last piece on a shirt, which I thought was kind of interesting. But we got the whole thing put together. After that, there was a specific order to numbers and letters that were made out of the circuitry pieces, and it generated a specific URL that redirected, I think back to Waypoint, actually.
Huh.
Yeah, there were lots of different domains that they used for this thing. It was crazy.
Yeah, no, once it got past the initial, I'd say like 2 days, I was kind of, it was just moving too fast for me.
Oh, it definitely was.
Yeah, the pace of it was just ridiculous. I mean, the amount of things I was seeing flying through Twitter.
Yeah. I know. I was on the archive Twitter just kind of watching everything and watching everyone go. And I was just like, my gosh, this is insane. It's cool to see, but it was overwhelming.
The next piece to this puzzle, after we got the circuitry put together, this URL goes back to Waypoint. And if you go back to the chat box on the desktop at your team hub, for lack of better words, you had admin messages and said, find me in the forums. And there was also text in there saying whether or not people had found all the pieces or whether or not it was still kind of going on. And just as the Ford commercial, the username was an anagram for Dr. Halsey, this forum user was another anagram for Dr. Halsey by the name of Shale Dry. And this person...
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, this person had posted links in the forums embedded in periods, of all things. So you actually had to pay very close attention to what she posted, even in order to find the links that she made. And these 3 different links led to 3 different clues, that of which was another URL that was encoded. So the first was a URL string that was garbled up. The second thing was a sequence of numbers, 53124. And then the last thing was a set of what looks like directions. The series of numbers was actually a transpose cipher for the URL. And the URL led to this new puzzle that was like a 3D square. And you had to go to this URL on your phone, lay it flat down. That was the setting point. And then you tilted your phone to move the 3D box in the direction of these arrows. And then once you got to that position, the score would change colors to indicate that you got the move. And then you had to set it back flat down again. And then you went through all of these directions. And then once you finally got that completed, you were you went to transmission number 2, the next piece of the puzzle. At that point, did anyone say up here that they, how far they got? I saw one person say that they didn't even attempt it. And I read so far on. Read so far on that I forgot to even check. Sorry, guys.
Yes. Yeah, so many stuff. Like, a lot of people say it was overwhelming. The guy, Pure Sicko 12, say you said it was.
That's actually me.
Okay. Okay, well, all right.
There's a lot of stuff. And one of the weird things, too, is all the incorrect platform messages having all the decimal bind or the decimal numbers in there. I was thinking that there must be something on there that was related to Hunt the Signal, but I could never figure out what those numbers could possibly even translate to. And it doesn't really seem like ended up doing anything that way either.
Not that I know of. Yeah. I honestly, like I said, I wasn't the expert on that.
I think the only experts in this were the people that won.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I'd agree with that.
I'm sure that they had a pretty level. I mean, like, there was a lot of smart people out there that could understand. Like, they did a lot of figuring out of things, like code breaking and things like that. Like, they were even having a hard time. So it was this whole thing was really difficult. Like, it really was.
Mm-hmm. Just completely ridiculous. I mean, I'm sure it was a lot of fun for the people that actually knew what they were doing and knew how to solve the puzzle. But for me, it was just, okay, I'll let people have their fun. And then once all the dust settles, then I'll go through and then try to understand it. Yeah.
Then we'll do this.
Yeah. So this last transmission was the big thing. This was like the end of it, believe it or not. And this was very in-depth. There were so many pieces to this that it was just crazy to get that. I got through, like I said, to the firewall part, and then I just could not get past it. And looking at the post and some of the other stuff, there wasn't really much more to go after the firewall puzzle. There really wasn't, which kind of sucks.
No. Yeah.
So the next part was the transmission that we were introduced to for transmission 2 is, good work. Your diagnostic test to find the vulnerability could be instrumental in the apprehension of a potentially rogue Spartan asset. Locke has now tasked you with the infiltration of a highly secure archive, hint, created by Dr. Catherine Halsey, director of the original Spartan 2 program. Insight into the psychology of Spartan 2 assets might help, physiology of the Spartan 2 assets might help shed light on additional vulnerabilities which could be exploited in the event of stolen gauntlet. Caution should be taken, however, as this archive may be heavily guarded by an extant program in the previously quarantined facilities. So as we go in through this, we're hacking what seems to be archive of Dr. Halsey, as this transmission explains, and we are actually encountered by an AI by the name of Jared. Now, this may be where you come in, Mario, and if you know anything about Jared, maybe give us a little insight of who he is.
For the Hunt the Truth, the only thing I know is that he was tasked with studying, why am I going blank right now? The Mueller, right? That was Jared? The AI that was tasked with studying Master Chief,
so
basically.
Jared, I thought was, at least it seems this way, is the AI that was blocking you as the AI access to stuff.
Never mind. No, I was thinking, I don't know. I honestly don't.
Okay. I saw a theory somewhere where Jared was mentioned before, and that once Halsey went into Ghost of Onyx, he disappeared. Like, he was a personal AI kind of thing for Halsey at some point. Not necessarily a smart AI like Cortana, but an AI that was more portable than Cortana was and could actually be carried around and used in cases like this. Gerard puts up a puzzle, which is actually a chess puzzle, a very famous chess puzzle that I would have no clue what it was, but apparently there's this famous chess round that, and I'm pulling up the link here, called, It was Kasparov versus Deep Blue game in 1996. And there was this one move or one game set where this guy won in three moves. So you basically had to know what the three moves were. And people eventually found out, or they found the game where this was made previously. And if you put in the correct moves, then you would unlock it to the next stage. The lines that Jared says in this is, win this game in three moves. These files are protected by me, and you are but a small spark against my brilliant intellect. You have three moves. So when you put the valid moves in, he says, you may have won this game, but you have not won. This is just my first of my incomparable security constructs. So just firewalls upon firewalls upon firewalls of protecting this data. Once you go past that, once you get through the message, you are redirected to another URL, which is a Rebus GIF, which is basically just a sequence of images stacked up on top of each other. In each one of the frames, we have a two-number pair that actually relates to a book for ISBN numbers that were also embedded in this image. And the ISBN numbers actually refer to the book The Fall of Reach, the first Halo book.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's... Okay, I think I know where that was going.
The pairs of numbers were the chapter and then word count to compose this sentence to get onto the next step. So through all these number pairs, you get the sentence, get around the system to find dark secrets, go to 04592z-83.com. So the URL that you were supposed to go to is this 04592z-83.com. And once you got there, that's when you would get to this ring puzzle. And this was the last part I got to personally. Once there, you had to align the rings in such a way that it was basically like a combo lock where you had arrows around the circle and they would point in, and you would have to line up all the locks in such a way where it was a straight line from the arrow to the center.
Hmm.
You would align it up, and then once you got them all aligned, it would have lines go in basically indicating a lock, and then an outer ring would appear. And you only had 2 minutes to do this.
No pressure.
Which was not a lot of time. No. No yeah. pressure at all. One of the things that stumped me, and this is where I got stumped, was how to solve that last outer ring. And something that someone discovered was you could actually go in and implement a JavaScript variable that would extend the time.
Hmm. How did they find out to do that?
So that's actually something very basic with JavaScript. And I actually was digging through the code to see how I could extend it also. And then while I was digging through it, I saw someone on the IRC mention that you could just go through and change the JavaScript. And there's a couple of different ways to do it, depending on what browser you have. Most browsers, you can just replace the URL with setting a specific JavaScript variable to a certain value, and then that'll overwrite the variable set in the script. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it is via a JavaScript debug console, and that comes with Chrome, and that comes with Firefox natively. So you just open up the console, and then you edit the variable, and that gives you time. So you could really change it from 2 minutes to 1,000 minutes if you wanted to.
Pretty cool.
Jeez.
It was ridiculous, to say the least.
Gosh, it was really a cool thing that they did. I mean, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people were saying it was one of the more favorites since Iris, which is kind of generally known as the best ARG that they've put out, you know, for Halo.
That still haunts me to this day. Because the second Iris package was... and they gave away stuff for the first 100 that solved each puzzle or got through each puzzle. And for the second one, I think I was number 89, but I wasn't old enough to claim the rewards for it. So I could never get it. I was 17 at the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate.
I know. I was a little sad that day.
You were sad.
I was very sad. The puzzle to the outer ring was actually a 12-digit code that, believe it or not, was on the team page, which I had no idea was even there. It was hidden on the side, and I'm actually looking at an image archive that someone had posted, and it's not quite full yet, but if you looked closely on the team page, you could see very faintly these 12 letters. And I wish I would have gone back there and noticed, but the 12-letter combo that you had to put in to this outer ring was 5XZLA7WYSB3P. And once you get through that, each team member would get another set of URLs. So each one would get a different one. And there was another string from somewhere, I forget where it came from, but it was a lot of numbers and dashes. And it was almost like a kind of like a URL in a way, but it didn't really follow any specific format. But once you got through this ring, it actually was something that you could match it up with the URL. And based on the letters, you would actually go count backwards down from the letters, and then you would get the URLs where you needed to go to. So out of those four URLs, you were given access to four different parts of Halsey's archive. First part was a set of images regarding what looks like viruses or possibly flood spores, something like that. Some kind of study. And then also a DNA strand, which could possibly be... it looks like DNA that's just been broken apart. And I mean, a lot of people have rumored this is evidence to possibly the flood being brought back in Halo 5 or somehow being brought back into the franchise. Something like that. So that was the first thing. Then the next thing was the security images of one of Dr. Halsey's labs that she used. Nothing particularly special about those. And the next thing was different planetary readings for some planet that she was studying, which looks like a shield world, possibly. Foreigner shield world. And then the next thing was X-rays of somebody. And this was also... Was this on the archive that I saw this? There was someone speculating on who this actually was. Somewhere I saw an article of speculation. Oh, or it kind of explaining. It may have been in the forums.
Okay, yeah.
This was a study of Dr. Graham Albin. Someone in the chat, correct me if I'm wrong, but he was one of the... Or he was a subject for the Spartan program, and he basically donated his body to be studied and his brain to be used as a template for an AI, which eventually became BB, which from those reading the Kilo 5 trilogy knows that that is the AI that Perrin Goski has.
Pretty interesting. That's kind of interesting to donate your body for an AI. Like that
yeah.
Pretty weird, in my personal opinion. I wouldn't necessarily do that. Yeah. I wouldn't want anybody going through my memories as well.
Weird. It sounds awful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're dead at that point, so.
Yeah. Still. No one's let my body rot in the ground. I don't want no one messing with me.
So the next thing in here, and we're almost through this. We're almost at the very end. There's like two more steps to this, and then we'll wrap it up for the night. This is this may be boring for some people. I know this is hard for me to keep track of, so I can't imagine what it's like for other people. Taking the DNA sequence, we get a Baconian cipher, which I didn't even know was a thing, which gives another link that links to an overhead view of a map. And in that map is embedded what looks like a Foreigner glyph, similar to the ones that we had on the Foreigner terminal when we went through, what was it, like on Waypoint? When you got the, like, the reach credits and whatnot? You guys remember those?
Mm.
No. Wait, well, no, I don't think so. I'm trying to think.
I'm not remembering.
No.
No? Okay. but you were given a glyph, and then you were given another, one of the other links. So this was the result of one of the other links as well. And then one of the other links went to Halo's Starscope, which was used to as a promotional tool for the Master Chief Collection. And there was something in there where if you input certain coordinates or input this glyph sequence, it actually led to another link. And this is where stuff just gets, I get lost. But from all these glyphs, you eventually get to another link. And going back to the Rebus gift, there's one frame that is a pig pin sequence. And that was the one that had kind of like the tic-tac-toe squares and then the X with the letters in it. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yeah, I remember it. Faintly, but I remember it.
And then once you got that, once you entered in the glyphs, that was the end. So actually going back to Starscope, that's where you find one of the other glyphs. So there were four glyphs that you had to discover, one of which was in Starscope, one that was in that overhead view, and then two other ones that you had to find. And then once you went to that final URL, that was it. You were done.
After that long, lengthy process, you're finally done.
A cipher of bacon, Kevin Bacon.
I just...
So yeah, that was Hunt the Signal. And the guys that ended up
so much
winning this thing were the folks over at OniSec3 on Twitter, Gamer Refinery, Mr. Toasty, Devlins, and Sticker Boy. So they got the final congratulations. And the reward text was to be immortalized in Halo fiction and something else for you each to keep. But for now, this is all we can reveal.
Wow.
So that was Hunt the Signal. That was the contest that boggled the minds of thousands of Halo fans for 2 weeks.
My gosh.
I have a headache.
Yeah, it's pretty special, though, that people can just go through that and get it done so quickly, you know?
Yeah.
More power to them, because I couldn't do it.
Definitely.
I would not be able to do it. For people that made it to the end, congratulations for getting that far. For the people that won, congratulations for winning. You will get to see your faces in Halo 5 Guardians coming in October. That's going to be exciting, right?
Yeah. Pretty interesting stuff. I'm really interested. I can't wait to see like how they implement their face somehow. Like, I know it's probably not going to be anything like huge, but it's going to be interesting to see how they do.
Oh, definitely. Still be cool to see. I mean, that'd be awesome to be that person. Showing people that is my face right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's it for this week, guys. There's not really much in Halo news happening. We're supposed to be getting ODST and Remnant within the next couple days. If it's going to be by May, we'll see.
And hey, Duststorm, do you mind if I say a few words too?
Yeah. Feel free to plug anything or say anything, and yeah, go for it.
So yeah, I just want to say first off, thanks to you guys for letting us on the show. Hopefully everyone listening, I was interesting and a good addition, but I did want to say, because I've already went over the archive, but just wanted to tell a few people, we are kind of like, stay tuned basically for some multiplayer. We're going to try to start kind of doing some multiplayer blogs in the same way, in the same sense that we do the lore, which is basically just, you know, super in-depth analytical type of blog. So if lore is not your thing, we're going to try to kind of push a little bit. We're always going to be lore, but we'll have a little more multiplayer on our site. And we also have an unannounced that I can't announce yet, but it's a really, really awesome project that everyone will like. It's going to be on YouTube with someone we're working with, and a couple different people actually. And we're kind of at the helms here getting it ready. So once we're ready to announce more, I'll definitely let you guys know, and let everyone else know as well.
Awesome, dude. We have our own little special project that hopefully we'll be announcing within the next week, which will be very exciting. Awesome. But again, you can find Mario or Media Bias over on Halo Archive, which is haloarchive.com. You can find them on Twitter at Halo Archive. Do you guys have a YouTube or Facebook or anything else you want to plug?
We have Facebook, we have Twitter. Those are pretty much the two, aside from our website, that we use. Our YouTube is kind of not existent right now.
I know the feeling.
Yeah, no, thanks again, guys.
Sure. So make sure you guys go check them out. It's been a pleasure to have you on Media Bias. It's been something that we've been working forward to getting, and I'm finally happy we were able to get it done. So thank you for coming on over and giving us a little in-depth perspective on what the archive is, and I encourage you guys all to go check them out. And also check out our podcast network. We have a sister network that we are partnered up with, where you can go find podcasts like Crithcast, which is a TF2 podcast, Guardian Radio, which is a Destiny podcast, The Learning Cliff, which is an EVE Online podcast, and then some miscellaneous podcasts such as Work in Progress and How to Murder Time. So please go check them out if you're looking for some other podcasts to dive into or fill your ears with during the workday or however you listen to podcasts. Also, make sure you check us out on our media sites. We have Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitch. If we have it, you can just go to podtacker.com/whatever that is, and that'll get you there. We will be doing some big E3 coverage coming up in 3 weeks or so. So make sure you are following and subscribe to all those places, because we have some pretty exciting stuff that we know is going to be coming towards E3 and that we'll be trying to cover as best as possible. So make sure you guys stay tuned to us here. Make sure you guys stay tuned to the archive, as I'm sure there's going to be quite a bit of Halo lore stuff coming out of E3 as well. So they're going to be riding that for days, I'm sure.
We'll be right there. Yep.
So make sure you check those out as well. Tune in to us on live for Twitch. We have another 3 episodes of Hunt the Truth. We'll be doing the next 2 on Wednesday, and then we will be recording the last one on the Sunday before E3, before the Microsoft press briefing. We're not sure if we'll do that one live, but we'll be recording that one on the Sunday. And of course, we do our shows regularly on Thursday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Tonight was a little bit of an exception, but that's when we normally do them. And our game nights on the Master Chief Collection, also at 8:30 p.m., but on Friday nights. So we hope to see you guys get involved with the live stream. We do our $10 giveaways every once in a while. We did one last night for our Hunt the Truth episode, which was pretty cool. We got to see some new faces, which is always awesome to see. And we see some of them are back tonight. So thank you guys for tuning in. And I encourage the rest of you guys, if you want to get in on the conversation, have a little fun in the chat, then come on over to Twitch and hop on in. We promise we won't bite or infect you with flood. So until next time, everyone, thank you again, Media Bias, for coming on and representing the Halo Archive. Keep on fragging archives.